Isaiah 9. One scripture, 9 and 6. You can probably go back to 7 to make all this make sense to you, but we'll just stay right there. Mm-hmm. Everybody there? It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Then the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Powerful God," amen. "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," amen. And Father God, we thank you right now, God, for your written word. I ask right now for your Holy Spirit, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of true faith comes by hearing him. By the word of God, I ask for utterance, I ask for the anointing, I ask for utterance, I ask for the anointing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You can have your seat. This is supposed to be a celebration of Jesus' birthday. You hear all manner of things on YouTube clips. That's where most people, they listen to YouTubers more than they do their own preachers sometimes. All manner of people say it's pagan. Catholicism roots, that may be true. It's the worship of trees, and you worshiping trees. I ain't worshiping no tree. And the day that they try to make it be about, to twist it into pagan, that ended on, based off my research, like the 17th of December. It's the 25th. Say different days. And if, even if that's what they did with it, that ain't what we do with it. Christmas is supposed to be about Christ. And for some, it still is. It commemorates the birth of Jesus. Nobody know when Jesus was born. Some people believe his birth was actually, people celebrated on January 7th. They believe it was January 7th. But nobody knows what Jesus' birthday was. And if they tell you, just ease away from them, because you probably don't need to trust nothing else they say. Because nobody know. And it's interesting to me because it's become so commercialized that, and they good at what they do, you see. I think it's over 90-something percent of companies, Brother Henry, they wouldn't even survive without Christmas, Christmas Day. All through the year, Sister Olivia, they're in the black, the red. And they make up their entire year's budget, move to the black one day, Christmas. And so, smile, we got toys and stuff up on our trees. Got a Christmas tree, I ain't taking it down. And people can preach what they want to preach. I like it. I like the spirit behind it. I like the love behind it. I like the people can get saved behind it because you start talking about Christ in church. And any church that don't talk about Jesus and Christ, they ain't representing him at all. This ain't psychology. This ain't somebody trying to, I don't know, whatever. But this is about salvation. And so, truth is, Christmas is a tradition with a mix of celebrating God and commercialism. That's the truth of it. But we take advantage of it as the church, and we talk about Christ's birth. Because how many know that Christ's birth is a big deal? And we don't know when he was born, but I'm so glad that he was born. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? Don't nobody know when he was born. I'm glad that he was born. Because what he did, his birth was the entry point to provide something for humanity that it took him 42 generations to get here. You can go back all the way to Genesis. You can find him in every single book. He was on a march. He was on a forward advance to get to a point to where he could die on that cross, that his blood could be shed and people could be saved. That's what this is all about. That's why I tell people, I don't even know why people have in church if ain't nobody getting saved. What's the point? If nobody's coming to Christ, if nobody's getting born again, man, there's got to be more than just falling in love with church. I'm glad Jesus was born. Anybody else? I'm so glad Jesus was born. You have no idea. So, because I know how I was. I know where I come from. I know what the Bible, what the Word of God has done for me. And how about you? Anybody else been changed? You hear people say, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. The songwriter said it too. I'm telling you, that's the best thing that ever happened to me in my entire life. And, you know, even as a little boy, I can go back all the way. People don't believe it, Sister Olivia. They don't believe it. I can go back to 4 or 5 years old, encounters and dreams that God would give me as a little boy. It took me 40 years to tell my wife. I ain't write nothing down. You don't need to write nothing down. It's etched in the corridors of your spirit. And here I am today. And things made sense from that time now. So let's talk about this. Unto us a son is given. Say that. Say, unto us a son is given. Shoot, that sums up Christmas right there, don't it? Christmas, Christ Mass. So that's where people kind of tie the Catholicism in it. Mass, M-A-S-S. I'm sure it probably had two S's at the end at some point. But it's Christ Mass. All Mass is a gathering of people. Christ, to celebrate Christ. Gathering of people, celebrate Christ. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing. You see how the devil make people, mess people all up? And so when you talk about Christmas or Christ Mass, I heard somebody say, know for a certainty that Christ ain't his last name. Christ is the anointed one. It's his anointing. That's what it means. It means he's the Messiah or anointed Messiah. Say, come on, Jesus. He's a liberator, mother. He's a deliverer. He's a defender. Am I warming up? Am I hitting anybody's stuff? He's a champion. But ultimately, he's Savior. He's a liberator. He's a champion. Anybody ever had God defend you? That's what they say. He's a lawyer in the court. Boy, that's the Holy Ghost is in this place. Do you hear me? He's a lawyer in a courtroom. Doctor in your sick room. You know what I'm talking about? He's a champion. He's a Savior. And when you think about it, there's never been a battle that Jesus has lost. Even when it looked like he was losing, he wasn't losing. He was sacrificing to gain the whole wide world. And that's why he said, if they had knew what they was doing and he wasn't losing, they never would have crucified him, because he was winning. Even in his death, Jesus can't be beat. Imagine when he got up out that grave. Come on, say with all power. He got up out that grave with all, but it started with his birth. It's coming. That's a good place to give him a friend. It started with Jesus being born. With no birth, there is no death. You have your beginning date, You have that dash, everything in between your exit date. You got your begin date, you got your end date, but he has really no beginning or end. All that he stood in was he planned that. He planned to save humanity. Go to John 3:16. And so he was prophesied. All these boys, Isaiah, they prophesied about Jesus coming. The Redeemer, the sent one. Think about him being sent to you. Did anybody forget who you was before you got saved? I know people like to tell people just forget. No. You don't forget about it because you gain experience out of that. All that stuff is how you got your oil. See, you don't have to tell people you anointed when you go through something and you win. The oil is automatically released. Are you following me? And it sets captives free. Always be leery when people are trying to tell you. Jesus didn't even run around talking about he was the anointed one, but he had the oil. Say, I got the oil. And the oil setting people free. And so when you look at John, let's look at John 3:16, because I think this is so powerful and kind of puts it in perspective about this time of year. I'm going to share some things about love. For God so loved the world. It's one thing to be loved. So loved. You, truthfully, most people can't even explain it. You know, because the best I can do when I talk about God so loved is talk from the depths of my revelation of love. But that ain't his revelation of love, because I might be willing to die for her, and it don't guarantee I'm going to die for all y'all. But while we were yet sinners, the Bible says he died for all the ungodly. Because God, see, Jesus' mission was hooked in God's plan. For God so loved the world. And he gave Jesus a mission that, Jesus, you got to die. Are you ready for this? Sure, Lord. Sure. The Council of Heaven had a discussion. Jesus agrees to come. To be born, I mean, no, I don't care how you're born in this. He could have been born in the palace. Leaving heaven and coming to earth is still a demotion. I don't care what they talk about the manger. It doesn't matter. He left heaven to come to earth. That was a demotion. And say, he did it all for me. You can be selfish sometimes. Say, he did it all for me. Now, you had a good opportunity to dive into that, because I'm going to deal with that in a second, because I believe that's linked to a lot of people's things. So God so loved the world that he gave. So giving is the greatest manifestation of love. Do you believe that? You ever heard talk is cheap? Because it is. Giving. That's why I'm not going to let people stomp out Christmas. If you don't want to celebrate it, ain't nothing happening in my house got nothing to do with you. And you say, I didn't invite you. Exactly. So ain't nothing up in there got nothing to do with you. Because giving is the greatest manifestation of love. That's why you give gifts. That's why you buy things for your honey. It ain't got to be Christmas. If your brother or your wife, it ain't got to be Christmas. You buy things for them because you love them. Giving is the greatest manifestation of love. Never forget that. Say, it's the chief manifestation. For God so loved the world that he gave. Always tell, you know, I'm hard on guys. I am, Sister Olivia. I'm hard on guys, men that have children and they don't pay their child support. I know you want me to drop the mic, so I stop, but I'm not. I'm hard on them because they demonstrating they don't love that child like they say they do. It's got to move beyond it. You look just like me, boy. Your daddy loved you. And you won't even get, they won't even get, say, not in this house. And they won't even put a Spam sandwich together and bring it. Spam? Boy, Spam is a delicatessen in Hawaii. They pay big money for Spam over there. You don't like Spam, mother? Oh, my God. Them eggs and them biscuits. So you digressed. My wife told me keep going. He so loved the world that he gave all. That's somebody's word, because God had put it in my heart to tell somebody that you've allowed yourself to say God is love. No, I'm not going to say it. But he did say to tell you that he loves you. I'll say it, that you think that you unlovable. But God said he loved you. And because if people are requiring you to change for them to love you, it's because they don't love you. Do you hear that? If that's the requirement for you to love me, is that I must conform to the image that you want me to display, then you do not love me. Amen. So many kids feel that way. That's why I was going to skip it, because I didn't want to mess with you. So many kids feel like that. That they have to be what you want them to be. And it's hurting people. And so God don't love like that. See, God doesn't love us just as we are. Because that's what people hit you with. You got to love me just like I am. No, that's not what I'm saying. God don't love you, because that's the thing as people come into churches these days. You just, this is who I am, just love me who I am. No, God don't love you like that. He don't love you as you are. He loves us in spite of who we are. That's the difference. He don't love you as you are. While we were yet sinners, he died. Not because of who you are or what you are, as you are, he loved us in spite of who we were. See, that's real love. Because we don't always get that. We don't always understand that. Telling somebody that you love them and giving them nothing, that's not the greatest manifestation of love. The greatest manifestation of love, I just had to throw that in, is giving. Say giving. Say giving. So can you love somebody that you have bad feelings about? Hey, if you get this, what I'm finna teach right now, a lot of you gonna get freed. Mm-hmm. Can you love a person that you have bad feelings about? You most certainly can. Why? Because the greatest manifestation of love is giving. That's why he says when a person does bad to you, he says do good unto them. If they take your coat, they ask for your coat, give them that also. They slap you, turn the other cheek. If they hungry, feed them. If they thirsty, give them water to drink. Because as you're giving to people, a lot of times they can't understand why you're being good to them. And they say, well, I haven't changed. I did this. I didn't apologize. I know I'm not loving you because of who you are. I'm loving you in spite of who you are because I need to change. I can't live with this resentment in my heart towards you. As a matter of fact, I can't live and stay connected with God and think my conscience is clear. God forbid I'm over people and I'm preaching and teaching and praying and prophesying and calling myself delivering, and yet I can't hear from God no more. I'm just working a gift and God ain't even involved, meaning that it might work and it might not. It might be God, it might not be. Tell somebody it's for your benefit. You should love people in spite of who they are. It'll free you. I say it'll free you. Because truthfully, we got to get delivered from pettiness. Stuff that, as we got born again, should have been washed away with the other sins we had, but we want to be petty about it. And it's 30 years later. The situation wasn't petty. The situation was real. But now you're born again. You washed in the blood. You not the same. You're praying God that they not the same. So why are we going to be petty about something that really ain't affecting neither one of us no more? Say, throw it in the sea of forgiveness. And you move on. You get past it. It's for your benefit. Say, it's for my benefit. It'll strengthen your inner man. So God loved us. It's not just the word. This is the question I want to ask you. We figured out that he loves us in spite of. The point I was trying to make, that you're never going to make heaven. You're not even going to be powerful in this walk, to be honest, if your love walk ain't right, because faith works by love. So we command the mountains to move. They won't move. They won't do nothing. Do you know why? Because faith works by love. Do you see how dangerous this is as a born-again believer for us to say that we are this powerful creature for God, but we have hatred, bitterness, or something else, and we won't demonstrate love to nobody? See, you don't know that you've really been delivered from the pain that they inflicted on you until you can love them with no hatred. Watch this, and no requirement. Meaning they trying to apologize. You're like, it's okay. It's okay, sis. Don't worry about it. Don't even bring it up because I'm so far past it. I don't even want to think about it no more. I don't have no sting in me. Say, God, take the stinger out. It's Christmas. You want to be happy. Say, God, take the stinger out. Whatever it is that people are putting you, God is plucking it out by the Spirit today. He getting it out of you. He getting you free. He getting you delivered. Because you can't be powerful in God like that. You can't be used by God like that. So people say, again, if you love me the way I am. Say, I will not. I'm going to love you in spite of, but not as you are. There's some things you shouldn't tolerate. I don't want you sleeping outside in the cold, but you know you can't smoke reef up in here. Because if I get a hit, no, I'm just kidding, mother. I'm just kidding, mother. But you can't be drinking up in here. Girl, don't look at me like that. But you can't do that. You can't bring your girlfriend and live up in here. If you choose to marry a man and you're a man, I can't come to your wedding. Ooh-wee. I can't support that. And the assumption is that I don't love you. No, I can't support that. And be in good faith with God. See, what people try to do is that they try to impose their freedom all the way to your side. And the truth is, their freedom ends where my freedom begins, meaning that I don't have to let you cross over here, but you ain't gonna make me cross over there. I'm not gonna change to satisfy that. But I do love you. Let's just go to the Olive Garden. Something. But I can't. Oh, you follow what I'm saying? Say, God loves us in spite of. Mm-hmm. This is what I gotta say. I didn't really want to, but the Lord had put in my heart this morning that people have allowed themselves to become what they are. But that's not what they have to be. They've allowed themselves, say change up three times. Change up, change up. Because you called and you predestined to be conformed to the image of God, not the world. Say change up. But some of us have allowed ourselves to become in certain conditions, or you still follow me, because we have not changed to the image of God. So Jesus came to save us, but he also came to change us. I'm going to show you in a second that when a person says they come to Christ and nothing changes, the Bible is right and everybody else is wrong. And God is still the same. He still loves humanity to this day, but he wants us to change. He loves you. So a lot of people's brokenness is linked to the fact that they didn't feel loved. Don't let this be too simple for you. Because some of us are dealing with people that are family, our children, our spouses, church people. And it's because they were so broken because they wasn't loved. Mother, they didn't feel loved. And, you know, we foster. I can't imagine. See, you shouldn't foster if you're just in it for the money. Don't mean you have to adopt every kid, but you shouldn't be doing that for money. Do you know we foster and we make it a point to not make any differences between children as they come in our house? So it ain't like our kids got all good stuff and then they get rocks, painted rocks. When I go to the store, when I buy for my Grand Sugars, I buy for all the same stuff. Because what happens is, this is why Jesus said, pay attention to widows and orphans. And if you mistreat them, it'd be better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and jump in the ocean than to hurt somebody's little child. Now watch this, the brokenness, God, he laid in my heart this morning because they didn't feel loved. So people start acting out. A lot of people don't realize that the absence of their mother and father has affected their love walk. A lot of them act, clap your hands because y'all looking at me too serious. They didn't have no mother or father. You'll find people that act out because they were abused by people who should have cared for them. They knew they should have been getting loved out of this situation, but they was getting the heck beat out of them all the time. There are people that are broken because they were neglected by people who should have provided for them. No, because they didn't have nothing. They hair was fried, dyed, and laid to the side. They was dressed to kill. They nails was done. They had cell phones. They had cars. And the child is nappy head, nasty, cold, and hungry. That's neglect. Meaning they had the ability, they would not care, or they would not love that child more than, or just they say, like Jesus didn't even say love a child more than, he said love them as yourself. Say, God is working on us this morning. He said many addicts, you got a lot of addicts because they are broken. People, see, because a lot of time, you know, I'm talking about people on drugs, but a lot of time people don't associate, they do not associate sex or being promiscuous with that. Is this a Christmas message? It is. Jesus loves you, this I know. It is a Christmas message. He came through 42 generations to solve your brokenness. He was born to get in position to deliver you. He was born. This is why he's born. This is the reason why he's born, to save us and deliver us and to bless us in the process. But a lot of people are addicts because they were deprived of love. They had to find something, a pleasure. They're trying to replace pleasure. Same thing with food. It's the same thing. You watch this. No offense to nobody, nobody's kids, grandkids, or you. All right? Do you think the LGBTQ community, do you think that it's all about sex? People are trying to create a community of love without God. Preach, Holy Ghost. They're trying to create a community of love without God. And the same sex stuff is a byproduct of that. But how many know that if you've been broken and deprived of love, we release you from that spirit today. If you watching, God came to, he was born that you could feel the love of Christ. God so loved the world that he came. He sent his only son. I release you from that hardship, that pain, that brokenness, that anger, that betrayal, that mistreatment. Say, Jesus loves me. Because a lot of times we don't want to take no responsibility for what we see. Meaning that a lot of times we'll say, I didn't raise you like that. Yeah, but I'm the first one that handled you. Preach, Holy Ghost. The parent will say, I didn't raise you like that. You the first one who handled me. See, a lot of the brokenness comes from the first person who handles you. The first environment that you in. Is this too boring for you? The first environment that you in contributed to things. And even though, how many know that sometimes you can do your best, but sometimes your best still ain't good enough? So you apologize, because a lot of times if you was like us, we were so young. I've said this a many times. I had no business dealing with anybody's children. I'm a baby myself. I was a baby myself. I was a kid. We were kids ourselves. Meaning that there's a lot of things that you don't know, that you assume you know. That when they go from your lap, they're going to eventually go to your heart, meaning that you can spank them and you can love them. And you can spank them and they'll come right back and you can love them. But when they own your heart, you can't control the elements no more. And we have to take some responsibility to ensure that we don't reject them of giving them love because they're in a condition that don't please us. And I'm not catering to your condition, but I am going to love you in spite of your condition. I'm going to make sure that if you leave this earth, or if I should leave this earth before Jesus comes back, that you know I love you. That's worth some of you coming to church for right there. They need to know. And what's the greatest manifestation of love? Giving. Do something. Don't shut people out. Don't turn your back on people. Don't walk away from people. Watch this. Especially if you got the ability to do something. Man, you talking about ministering to a person when you do something for them and they know they don't deserve it? How did that change you? When you got born again and the Holy Ghost moved down in inside of you and you knew that you didn't deserve it, you know that God found you when you wasn't looking for him, you know that we was in conditions and in situations and living in different kind of manners, and God kicked open the door to rescue you and say, no, don't do that no more. I love you. You my child. I paid for you. I died for you. I was, say, Jesus loves me. In spite of, I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to please you. I don't have to cry 42 days and mourn 42 years and apologize 5,000 times. I've already got it right with God, and I feel the love of God. I know that God has loved me no matter what I have done in this earth. Jesus loves me. And whether you approve of it or not, that doesn't matter. Jesus loves me. Whether you think I deserve it or not, that doesn't matter. Jesus, say, Jesus loves me. Because you know what it is? A lot of time, mother, people want God to be mad with you because they mad with you. They don't think you deserve it or no forgiveness because what you did to them. They want God to be mad with you because really they mad with you. And every time God blesses you, they inside start bubbling. I hope they bubble over until they deliver you because God gonna keep blessing me. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. You can't convince me that my past disqualified me because I've repented of what I've done and God has freed me from it. You can't lock me in to a filthy, nasty past that God done dug around in the slop in his love to find me and pull me out and drag me out and wash me in the blood and say, now that you're clean, stand up. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Because people want to convince you of other. They want to tell you that you don't deserve it. No, God said you don't deserve it, but I want you to have it. You don't deserve it, but I want you to have it. Say, Jesus, love me. I'm almost done. Give me a few seconds. So, for God so loved the world that he would. This is one of the greatest manifest revelations in the Bible. I don't care what other revelations that you get. If you don't understand that, everything else is going to be in vain. Some of the most dangerous people in the body of Christ, go pastor, are people with gifts, but no revelation of the love of God. They are so mean and wicked, but gifted, nasty and anointed, because they got revelations in other things, but the main revelation they skipped over, that they needed to know that God loved them, and if you're going to handle my people, I want you to love them like I love you. Don't forget where you came from. That's one of the greatest revelations. And this is why people have so much bitterness in their heart. They don't have no revelation that God loved them. They don't understand what it really means when it says, God so loved the world. God so loved. That's me. That's you. Say, that's me. He's talking about me. Before the beginning began, God loved me. See, if the condition for God to love me or us is deliverance first, nobody would get saved. That's why he loves us in spite of. Because ain't nobody good enough. Nobody's morally perfect enough, spiritually good enough, know enough, have done enough, undeserving, but yet God gave it to me. Say, he talking to me now. He talking to me. Undeserving, but God gave it anyway. I wasn't looking for God when I got saved. I like, you know, I don't know how if you compartmentalize or justify sin, but some of my sin went as bad as y'all's. But I wasn't looking for no God. I was doing my stuff. But he found me. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit leads him. And he got me in the right time. Because I've shared some of this before. My behaviors or my temperament is one to where I would have easily fallen into like addictions. Because I do the same stuff. I like the same stuff. I eat the same stuff. I drive the same. I'm really repetitive and redundant. So if he ever got me into a situation with something that I liked, he would have got me addicted because my behaviors, I'm structured like that. That's why you can retire from the military. Redundant things don't make you just quit. You ain't always looking for excitement. You're looking for results. Say, my freedom is here. Come on, just reach up and grab some of it. Your freedom is here. God wants us to be free and whole, happy during this time. This is a time of celebration. This is a time of joy. This is a time of giving God glory, saying nothing gonna keep me from it. I got a few minutes. I'm trying to squeeze all of them out and let you out at a decent time. So he gave his only begotten son that he who believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So watch this. He says something. He says, for God sent his son into the world. Let me just get through this and I'll stop because I got too much. I'll preach it to you later, baby. For God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but do what? That the world might be saved. I'm going to stop on this point on purpose because I think the church needs to hear this. I think we can explain the emptiness in churches now. People are the same. Churches have been filled with sinners being saved by God's grace for generations. And we make this excuse that people have changed. How? How they change? I'll wait. They still sinners. Which means that somehow, Sister Lisa, we're doing something different. We're doing something different. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Condemnation is the act of declaring somebody guilty. It's disapproving of them. She'd been saved 1 week. All she got is skimpy outfits, Ethel. And you didn't bring her nothing. And you're not going to bring her nothing because you like to gossip. People, when my whole thing, because a lot of time when you see in people trying to make somebody else look bad, it's so that they look good. So when you see a person that's arrogant, you're looking at a person with low self-esteem. That's right. You see a person that's always putting down somebody, you're looking at a person who really don't feel good about themselves. So they have to deflect the attention from the fact that they don't feel good about them to make themselves feel somewhat good about themselves by putting you down, but disapproving of them. And then he says condemnation is rejecting somebody because of sin. Well, how are you going to fill the church if you reject everybody because they're in sin? All churches do now, says, all they do is eye people in other people's churches to try to get them to come to their church because they ain't got no anointing. Because the anointing is magnetic, and the anointing, when God calls you, it'll draw everything you need, including people. So they can't get nobody saved, so they try to convince you that they're going to give you a platform. Or they're going to rescue you into your calling. I don't tell nobody you got no calling until you get delivered. Because the calling ain't going to be the bait for you to come into the church and start working a gift without salvation or the anointing. Because you don't get the gift because you're born again. You're born with the gift. So you can technically you can come in and start working the gift and never have Jesus into your heart. So I ain't telling you that you got some gift and God want to use your gift. No, I'm going to tell you Jesus died for you and he loved you in spite of your sin. And God sent me here to tell you that he wants to save you. He wants you to be on. You see the difference? But what we do is we condemn people. We disapprove of them because they in sin. If you a sinner, sinners should come to church. The church is for sinners. Jesus said, I come not to save those that are healthy. I came for those that are sick. The church is his body. The body's supposed to be helping him get people who are sick healed. But now all we want to fool with is people that are already saved. All we want to deal with, all we want to deal with, all we want to talk to is people that's already saved. No, we need to be talking to people that's not born again, that's deep in their sin, that's doing some horrific things, them the people that you should be trying to talk to. Say, God, give me the anointing to minister to those that are not like me yet. So I believe this is the reason why churches are drying up. Because they're talking to people crazy. They're condemning people. And Jesus was trying to accept people, not as they were, but in spite of who they were. I couldn't figure out, Apostle. I couldn't figure out. God started sending a lot of people that were LGBTQ. I ain't kicking them out. Mm-mm. You can't join the church because you got to be delivered. You got to be born again, but come. Bring all your little friends. I'm not going to preach on you, but I'm not going to skip over scriptures either to make you feel comfortable, you see. I'm not going to make you feel comfortable, but I'm not going to condemn you. So a lot of people think they're convicting people when they're preaching. They're not convicting them. They're condemning them. And they'll be talking about, no, you just convicted. No, I'm condemned. Because you done sat here and talked to me like a dirty dog. I'm condemned. You done rolled me under the carpet and stomped on my head. I'm condemned. I wasn't convicted because if I was convicted, it would have drew me to God. But ain't nobody coming to the altar. So you condemning and not See, there's a big difference. One drives people to God. The other one drives people away from God. One drives people to the cross. The other one drives them away from the cross. That's the difference. So churches are dying because they think their little gift going to draw some people. They think they're just so gifted and anointed that's going to get them. Say change up three times. Change up, change up, change up. No, we need to get back to loving people in spite of. We need to get back to showing kindness to people that's nothing like us. We need to start spending some time with some people that they'll see the God in you and ask just like the jailer, what must I do to be saved? I know that there's a God because I hear him coming out of you. Hey, my time is up. Stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. Come on, give the God a good hand of praise. Say, Jesus loves me. Say it with some conviction. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Say, Jesus loves me. This I know. You can't convince me of other. No, we want everybody. Broken people, hurting people, people with records, homosexual people, saved people, rich people, poor people. Say, you're not discriminated against here. We take everybody. White people, Chinese people, Mexican people, Korean people. It's so funny. People move into a predominantly Caucasian community. Watch this. With a mega ministry in their heart in Colorado Springs, mother, and they only target black people. Because they can't do math. Demographics would tell you ain't enough black people in this city to even fill a church that's mega. They can't do math. So they run away from people because they don't look like them. They don't come from where you come from. They don't talk like you talk. I wish I had better English, but I don't. I see you see that sentence right there? That didn't even make no sense. It made sense in the spirit. I was going to tell you, I ain't even got a dollar in my wallet right now, but I'll get you back. I appreciate that compliment. Come on, clap your hand before the Lord. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for hearts that's open. This is a season where you can show we live right by people. Some of you are going to go in stores and see people with their head down. Walk right past them with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Some of us have had conversations with people this week that was in so much anguish and pain. And you left and they were still crying. Do you know why? Because you was trying to comfort them without the Holy Ghost or with God. See, sis, this is a season for God so loved the world. I don't care what you went through. I don't care what you're going through. God love you. I know your husband walked off or your wife walked off during these holiday seasons. I can't even imagine what you feel like, but just know that you loved. Come to my house. Y'all got somewhere to go? Come to my house. We're going to eat. We ain't got no whole bunch of caviar and whatever you eat. But, you know, we're going to fry some chicken. We're going to have some, play some games. We're going to love up on each other. Turn to somebody and ask them, say, do you got somewhere to go? Wait for them to answer. Don't just cliche it. Ask them, say, do you got somewhere to go? I don't want you out there during the holidays by yourself. If they said no, invite them to your house. Put together what you got. Walmart is still open. The dollar store is still open. If you ain't got a lot of money, go get a small something. Why? Because the greatest manifestation of love is giving something. Grab somebody by the hand. I want somebody, everybody to feel somebody. This is God grabbing your hand. This is God grabbing your hand. This is God touching you. You feel the tenderness. You feel the love. It's not the person, it's the Holy Ghost. They're not trying to be fresh. It's the Holy Ghost. This is God telling you, trying to communicate with humanity that you are loved, that you are special. We all got some scars. We all got some bruises. We all got some hurt. But you still need to know that you love. You gifted, but you broken. You love. Tell them, say, you love, you love, you love. You anointed. You do have an anointing, but you broken. You need to be healed. God's love is here to heal you. Hey, the altar is open. If you want somebody to touch and agree with you, maybe something in your heart, something on your mind, something that was said, come to the altar real quick so we can get out of here. I know there are some broken people in this place. There are people that's dealing with family thing, absent mother, absent father, neglect, abuse. Don't be too strong. It's a good thing to be weak in the right moment and in the right season. When the water is stirred, get your healing. Don't worry about nobody else. There are people that you addicted to food. There are people, some of you may be addicted to sex. You may even be here. You may be addicted to some substance, whether it's prescribed or illegal. Come on, get your healing today. Come on, get your healing, get your freedom today. Get your healing and get your freedom today. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let nothing stop you. Don't let nothing stop you. I'm telling you, there's an anointing on this place for freedom. There's an anointing on this word for freedom. But the Lord got a question for you. How long are you going to stay in that condition? You should have came. Slide your hands up. The Lord want to know how long you want to stay in that condition. Do you know the beauty about God? He's really not moved by emotions, even though he has emotions. But he's not. The order that he laid out, that if we believe, we receive. If we release faith in him, he does what he says he's going to do. Release faith. Say, Father, I receive your love. I receive your love, and I ask you now, heal my heart. I release all pain. I release all frustration. I release all bitterness. Heal my heart, God. I want to be free. I need to be free. I receive it now by faith in your Son, Jesus' name.